I don't think anyone else needs to be here. A lot of them they can, but we'll call the meeting to order for the first hearing before the United States of Europe Electoral Board. And this is the objection to, this is Russell Cornels versus Salvatore Sammy J. Hall. Okay, so we need to do a roll call, I guess.
For purposes of the record in our minutes, our electoral board consists as required by law, our city mayor, our city clerk, and our most senior city alderman, Chris Funkhauser.
Mayor Purcell?
Present.
Alderman Funkhauser?
Present.
And city clerk Balin? Present. We are all here.
Sweet. Okay. So, adoption rules procedure. Kathy, you have any thoughts on this?
Yes.
Good, I'll let
rules
you talk.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm kind of stuck with this. Rules of procedure have been distributed to all parties. They are the rules of this electoral board. We request that, as we have in the past, that there be a motion to adopt these rules by the electoral board, the rules by which you shall continue as chair. So I would ask that you call for a motion.
Is there a motion?
I'll make the motion to approve the rules of procedure for the electoral board.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Purcell?
Yes.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Bayland, and aye.
Mr. Chair, the next matter on the agenda is a review of the objections. So I would suggest, it is subject to your decision, that we take the objections one by one and address them, or we can take them all at one time. What is your preference, sir?
I'll defer to you.
One by one would probably be best.
That's perfect. Unless there's an objection.
No.
Hearing none.
Our first hearing is in the matter of the objections of Russell Cornels to the nomination papers of Salvatore J. Hall, 1567 Coral Drive, Yorkville, Illinois, as a candidate for the independent nomination election of the office of alderman from the 4th Ward of the United City of Yorkville, State of Illinois, to be voted on April 4th, 2023. We are in receipt of the objections as filed by Mr. Cornels, and I would like to address your attention one at a time to these objections.
Please do.
What we would do is state the objection, allow the objector to tell the basis of the objection, and of course allow the proposed candidate to respond to the objections that have been presented. The first objection as filed is that states that the candidate included a statement of economic interest for statewide candidates submitted directly to the municipal election officer at the time of filing. The filing of the statement of economic interest is to reveal conflicts of interest of the public interest and private gain. Hall completed the form for candidates for statewide office of which questions are asked pertaining to the state of Illinois in lieu of the required form of local candidate which questions pertaining to the local which have questions pertaining to the local unit of government at issue. The filing of the statewide form fails to answer the questions of conflicts of interest between the candidate and the municipal entity in which the election is sought. There is a citation of Cortez versus Municipal Officers Electoral Board in the First Appellate Court District stemming from 2013. So with that, Board Chair, I would ask the objector to explain the basis of the objection and then to allow our proposed candidate to respond. Sir. For the record, would you state your name for our court reporter, please?
Russell Cornels. Candidate Hall filed a statewide statement of economic interest instead of the local county one, and it was not filed with either the state nor the county, as it was. It was mandatory to turn in a receipt of that filing along with his nomination paperwork, and he failed to do so, and that was a requirement to be on the ballot.
Anything further? Response, please.
How did you find that out?
You respond to his objection, not asking him how he came to it.
Okay. Well, that's what they said, that's what the form is. I guess it's not up to me. You know, I can say I sent it in the right form in question again. Here's a receipt for it. You know, my entry into this wasn't to, bring everybody here, cause these types of things. You know, was trying to do the right thing. So it's not really up to me. If I think I did the right thing, if they say I didn't, then, you know, I just would never look at someone else's paper, like, personally. So I'm kind of appalled at the situation, just because I wouldn't know someone else that I'm going against, what they had to go through to even say they could dedicate time to it. So my goal is the people in this thing, so these semantics, if he's right, then he's right. I don't know.
The law states that you have to submit your statement of economic interest to the county and return a receipt for it in order to be a qualified candidate. There is no law with regard to using the state form versus the local form. The only thing I could find on that was a treatise that said the forms are substantially similar. So the fact that the wrong form was used, there is no definitive case law on it. With regard to failure to submit a receipt that you have filed a copy of the Statement of Economic Interest with the Office of the County Clerk is a mandatory requirement. If you have questions, I'll be happy to answer them. I have reviewed the case law cited by Mr. Cornelius. It is the correct case law, other than whether it's state or local form. There is no case law on that part of the issue.
Do either of you have a question?
No. I'm just, what you had mentioned regarding the type of form, I thought there was a case that related to not specifically the type of form, but filing of the correct information and the access to the proper
correct
information. So there is a case, but it doesn't definitively stipulate it's a flaw of the type of form.
We are required by law only to address the issues raised by the objector. So the fact is, the objection was form, and there is no case law on one form versus the other. There was a second issue there, and that was about the receipt.
May I ask the question?
Did you have any other questions?
No, that's...
On that point?
No.
Did you have any questions on that point? I'll allow you to ask one question. She may or may not answer it. I'm not going to say she'll answer.
If at all possible, may I do it now?
To the best of our knowledge, in all case law, no, it is too late. It had to be filed and submitted. The receipt had to be submitted with your petitions for 5 days.
The last day of filing.
Or 5 days.
The last day of filing was the last time.
So I have a question. I think Mr. Funkhauser asked one of them. You said there is case law as to the receipt?
Yes. It is a mandatory requirement.
What is that? Was that a circuit court? Was that a state Supreme Court?
That was, now you're getting technical here. It is, receipt is, I looked up all of the cases. Cortez confirmed it. That was First Appellate Court District, which would not be us, but there was a Supreme Court case, which I reviewed, completed the forms for statewide. That was Maselli versus Lavelle with regard to it is a mandatory. This case law does say it's mandatory to have a receipt from the clerk. You cannot run for office unless your financial source of your income and your financial assets are made of record for review by the general public, which was the same a treatise then that followed up and said, so whether it's a state form or not a state form, they substantially reveal for the public, but a receipt is required to demonstrate it was filed with the county.
Okay. Any other questions on that point? We'll move on to the next point.
Next objection states that petitions of Salvador J. J. Hall are deficient in that the provisions in regards to the numbering of pages of the petitions were not followed in Illinois. Page numbering provision is mandatory and not discretionary. That is, they cite the case of Willem and cite the case of Jones. I have reviewed both cases. I have the case of Jones here for anyone else's review. I brought it with me. It is absolutely mandatory that the pages be numbered.
And both those cases are appellate court, second district, so they are our district, and they supersede the two Chicago Electoral Board rulings.
Jory, any questions? Are there any Supreme Court rulings on this?
No, but there are appellate court rulings on this, and this has been the statutory of the accepted provision since 1989, as would pertain to our jurisdiction.
Do the cases contemplate if none of the pages are numbered, do all the petitions get thrown out, or just those that are not numbered? Or do the cases not address that?
The cases say unless they're numbered in consecutive order, it is fatal.
For all of the signed signatures or just those particular pages?
The cases, any kind of misnumbering is what I understand the case to say. In our case, none of them were numbered.
So with that line of thinking, even if a case were to toss out particular pages, if none of them are numbered, then...
That is my understanding of the case law. In this case, none of them were numbered, so that
that's a moot point.
I did not get into that definitive discussion.
That's fine. Chris, Jory, either you have anything else?
Yeah. Was there anything you wanted to add to the objection?
No.
Was there a response, sir?
Sure. You know, I hope you have a plan, because you know okay, we could talk page numbers here. We could talk. I was out greeting people, talking to people, and bringing awareness to businesses already. Like, okay, you know, this is what it is. I would never look at your paper. I would never try to do this. I would just want a fair situation here. So, like, if you got me, pal, fine, you got me. You know, like, whatever. I'm here altruistically and to help this ward not waste resources because you want to check my page numbers. That's all I have to say about that.
Next point.
Next objection was that the number of signatures were insufficient. It was based on the fact that the law, given the number of those registered voters who voted in the last election, the number was not less than 10 nor more than 60. The objection talks about 13 different errors, 10 of which, as I understand, is it 10? Yes. 10 of which were petitions signed by people who do not live within our jurisdiction, which is absolutely mandatory. The second set were objected to for the reason that the signers did not live in the ward for which the candidate is running. And those objections totaled 13. Which, if they were all valid, would result in insufficient signatures. The objector, though, uses line 10 twice. And so once line 10 was stricken, you would then reduce your objection line signature numbers to 12, which would then bring the candidate to the 10 minimum requirement. And you can see that for yourself. If you have something further to say or I'm reading it wrong, please let the electoral board know.
Okay, I'm trying to follow the pages that they're on. So page 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, correct?
9 and 10. Oh, no, you're right. Page two.
Yeah.
And two. This, oh. There's one there.
So page two, four.
So on page two, that would leave four signatures that are good. On page three, it's 1, 8, 9, 10. So that would leave six signatures that are valid.
Which is 10 then. Would leave 10.
Well, and then if you go to then the next item, four of the objection, if you want to read that one real quick, Kath.
Your objector states on the petitions that the union order scan, the signatures are not living in Ward 4. Is that what you're
saying? Or no, on Ford number 4, they state an objection that the top portion was not filled out, so to toss out page completely, so that would reduce, take two more signatures. So that would leave a total of 10. Valid signatures. Right. If we then pull that page entirely,
it would still leave 10?
10 total.
What is the minimum on that?
10.
So that's a moot point then.
Yes.
Well, no. What we will ask the electoral board to do is to look at each of the objection and either overrule them or sustain them. A single objection sustained would mean that the candidate is not able to.
But on that point, there's 10
that you would
valid.
Overrule. So okay. That with, so that when you.
Because our job is not to look at these individually except for as they are objected to.
Correct.
So we're not to look at the others and say, well, is that person in the ward or not?
Correct.
That's up to the objector.
Correct.
So since the objector is not brought up.
Yeah, they did.
So the objector has stipulated that there are issues. That's number 5 and number 6.
Correct.
Those are the concerns of the voters. However, that alone,
there's still enough signatures.
There's enough signatures. But if by number 4, the lack of the information being completed on the form
eliminates that.
4
page.
Is coupled with 5 and 6.
Correct.
In order to make that one that would be
correct.
Sustained.
Correct.
So then the question is there any case law on the one that didn't have the complete
the top?
Yes, the petition was not adequately if it doesn't address the office that you are running for.
So it was not completely filled out.
Yes.
Okay, so that's 4.
So I have a question though.
2 signatures.
No, on number 4.
Yeah.
There's no case law cited.
No.
Is it up to the objector to cite the case law?
No, the objector should cite the case law, but the fact of the matter remains is that that's germane in the, it's a flaw pursuant to the candidate's handbook that you are required that a petition is not valid without that information as to the office for which the petition has been signed. Based on the fact that you're asking people to sign a petition without specifying what you're running for.
So the fact that it says these people are qualified voters in the 4th ward.
Correct.
But it doesn't specify what they're signing for.
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Which invalidates, which automatically invalidates.
There'll be an
that
page.
In
for a election to the office here and specified. And that's not specified. Okay.
Okay.
That's 4.
So that'd be page, I see what you're saying. So those
yes.
two would be gone completely.
Yes, that page. So there's, so in either way, if we strike our sustain to all, removing all of the signatures that they are, the objector's requesting, no matter what, we have 10 signatures.
We
because
do. Even if you take this page off.
Correct, because he duplicated one of them on
okay.
the objection. And so if he didn't duplicate, then yes, he would be on. He would be at 9.
Okay.
But because of that duplication, he's still at 10, though, no matter what.
Okay.
The objector properly cited the specific section of the law. Anything further from the objector? Anything further from the proposed candidate?
I've kids in this town. I love what everyone has done, and I feel that there's a lot of value that can be added. Yeah, it's like when the Astros won the World Series, in my opinion. It's like, if they won by semantics, they won by, you know, kind of some things, like, that's great. Well, if you have a better plan, man, I'd get behind you. But no one knows who you are.
So I would respectfully suggest that the electoral board look at the objections and take a position on either sustaining them or overruling them, each one individually. The decision will then be put in a report to be resubmitted to you. Here we have, we skipped a number. It's not actually 7, it's actually 5, correct? So the first objection...
5 or 6?
6.
Yeah, there's no number 2.
Oh yeah, sorry.
6. So I'm just a question, is there case law on if this is not numbered properly?
No.
Are you sure of that?
Yes.
Okay.
I am sure of that.
Okay. I mean, I just want to make sure they can have this picked apart based on numbers. Can the objection be picked apart based on numbers?
No, the case law, and if you want me to explain the basis of that.
That's why I'm asking.
Okay. The reason that the numbering of pages, the binding of pages is essential and a mandatory requirement is to prohibit someone from coming in, looking at the objections, looking at the petitions and possibly removing a page, thereby jeopardizing that candidate's ability to office and then object to it. And so the case law has been very, very clear by making this mandatory, it protects the candidate as much as the rest of us from any potential fraud, any potential misdeed in terms of petitions once they are filed. That's the case.
Is there a case law on the objection, though?
There is no case law on the objection because the objector has to submit it in writing and has to submit it in duplicate. There is that is a law, that the objection be submitted in duplicate. There is no case law.
Was the objection submitted in duplicate?
What was that?
Was the objection submitted in duplicate?
Yeah, there one in...
Actually, yeah.
I think you gave me multiple, 3 copies.
One original.
Yeah, and 2.
There is the only part that's been litigated on this, if I recall, that went to the appellate, was the fact that the objectioner did not specify what they wanted done. They didn't specify if they wanted the person removed. That's the only part that I'm aware of, case law.
Yeah.
In terms of the objection. It didn't say what it wanted.
Right.
The remedy.
The remedy.
Yeah.
Which is not the issue here.
Right. Right.
So are you suggesting without that stated in here, then...
No, that isn't the law. No, that isn't what he's suggesting. It is here anyway.
It is,
okay. It is here regardless, but that is not
it's the only thing that I know law, that has been litigated in regard to a
right, and objection. I don't know if that's definitive law throughout the state, but it's here anyway.
So,
yeah.
Any other questions?
No
questions. So what's your suggestion now?
My suggestion is we look at these objections one at a time and that the electoral board ask questions as they would and make a decision whether they should be sustained or overruled based on case laws presented, objectors, or on the defense presented as to the objection.
Okay.
So the first one would be the failure, the first one, it's all under the same number, is the use of the wrong form, and under number 1 was failure to file a receipt from the county.
Do you have a question?
No.
Do you have a question?
No.
I have a question. So is an objection legally taken as an and proposition or an or proposition?
The objection.
Because there are 2 points in this first number.
I don't know why they didn't number it separately, but they raised 2 issues.
So is it taken as an and proposition for number one or an or proposition?
It could be taken the way this electoral board would prefer to take it.
I mean,
you
no,
have great discretion.
There's no and or stipulated. It's just two
right.
different issues.
But they're raising
raised
the same
in the
point.
Same point.
So you could, but based on her comments earlier, you could make the case that one of them, there's a possibility you could keep the person on. The other one is pretty clear that you don't keep the person on.
So you would, with your discretion, as the electoral board, be allowed to address the issues as you would like, as opposed to number one, but to address them as 2 separate issues, 1A and 1B.
What's your preference?
You
understand what I'm asking.
Yeah, do we want to take it as 2 separate or one overall?
I say 1A, 1B.
So the first one being the state form.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it's the wrong form, that one, we would overrule that one.
You're right.
Correct.
That would be...
That's how I stand.
How I would position that one.
Overrule.
That we're okay that...
Because it doesn't...
Overrule the objection, so the objection does not stand.
As because okay. Kathy stated, the information on that form is the same
so
information that would be...
And there's no case in point to that right.
Correct.
Okay. So that would be which paragraph then?
It will be 1A, technically, for us.
We got, like, zoning better than this. Holy crap. So this is the one that the paragraph that starts, Hall completed the form of candidates for
yes.
statewide office.
In lieu of the required form of local government.
So we're...
Well, there's
yeah, because
sightings for West 2010, Kathy.
Yes.
Can you clarify that one?
That is just simply the statutory provision for it. It does not address one form versus
yeah.
the other because that's something that evolved with time.
Okay, and then what are you suggesting for 1B then?
So 1B, we would take it as. Are we going to sustain it or over?
That is the question.
With 1B is which paragraph? The candidate?
I would say,
all
yeah, he failed to file it with the county.
The candidate, in fact, failed to file any statement of economic interest with the state or the county.
That's the second one.
The law says if you are running for state office, you must file it with the Secretary of State. If you're running for local office, you must file it with the county clerk of the county in which the municipality's principal office.
And that's what Cortez rules on? What does Cortez rule on? Do they rule on the state side or the local side?
It was municipal. They stayed on the local side.
And what was the question? Was the question, does it have to be filed with the county clerk?
No, they just failed to file in general.
So is there...
Which is the same case.
Is there a question or is there a case on whether something was failed with the state instead of the county?
No, I did not even look for a case like that because that wasn't the instance here.
Yeah, we have no proof that it was even filed with the state.
What is this receipt, though?
I did not receive it.
Yeah, I mean, I sent it in...
You didn't receive it?
No, no. I had no receipt of anything filed.
Okay.
With the county or state.
I didn't have enough time because we filed it, so I couldn't do anything about it. You know, played against me. So, but I sent what I thought, and I went and paid the $50 at the post office to send what I thought I could send to make him happy, you know, so I could get him out of shake. But this is where I'm at. I'm at the mercy.
But that wasn't filed with
Correct.
You.
Correct.
What is the date on that?
This is 12:30 at 11:17. Mm-hmm. I left you. I went there.
Then the last day to file would have been 12:19.
Okay. So it's even if we
yeah.
tried to stretch that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
You would either overrule it or sustain it, and I think I'm hearing it
sustain.
That you're sustaining.
Yeah.
Chris?
It to be clear, we're sustaining the second one?
Right. Correct.
Yes. I want to make sure I'm on the right one.
Yep.
The one that cites Cortez.
Right. Fail to file any statement, the last paragraph before number 3.
Okay.
Okay. So the numbering of pages then is next.
Right. And if you want to address that, proceed.
Any thoughts on that, Chris or Jordan?
This one to me is pretty clear that it is a fatal flaw.
Correct.
So it would be sustained. That would be my vote.
Same.
But that's not gone to Supreme Court?
I don't have a Supreme Court decision here. It's been the mandatory requirement for a number of years through appellate courts, which have never been questioned.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing 2 votes to sustain it. I guess whether it's Supreme Court ruling or not, immaterial.
All right. So that
or votes or whatever. Yeah, that's sustained. Yeah. They're really saying sustain that.
All right.
Then this is the number one for the 4, one with the 2 two signatures must be thrown out because the top portion.
So number 4, since it's incomplete.
And I would say
that
sustained.
Would be sustained.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
And then 5 is the signatures for people not living in the city, which I believe we would say sustained.
For people who don't live in the city?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nobody lives in the city can vote for the city race, is that correct?
That is correct.
Just want to make sure. Who's a registered voter, I should say, they can live somewhere else.
And then number 6 is the ones that were not within his ward.
Which is also a requirement of law.
So sustained.
Well, yes. However, I don't know that you can sustain 6 if you're sustaining 5. You can't sustain them both. It's a duplicate.
We're striking this one because that one's just a duplicate.
So can we do that? His objection, and it's probably a moot point because it's going to get thrown out for the others.
Right.
But the objection, you can't strike the same one twice. You can't confirm an objection for something that's already been thrown out.
I absolutely agree. I think 5 and 6, and that's why I spoke of it as one, is one issue. Because the issue is there weren't enough signatures, and when we look
at... I would support 5 but not 6. I'm not going to support them both, period.
But it's one package, because whether or not you sustain one or both, the candidate still has the minimum 10 signatures.
I understand that, but if the 2 of them want to do it, it's 2-1, that's fine. I'm just saying I will not support 5 and 6 both, because you cannot strike a signature twice. And if we're agreeing that it's stricken 5, then you're agreeing it's stricken 6.
It should
6.
Be, and by that, you are right in your logic that by overruling the objection, because combining 5 and 6, the candidate still has 10 signatures.
Correct.
So you are absolutely spot on. So I would recommend that 5 and 6 be handled together with overruling, because the ruling being the candidate still has the minimum number of signatures.
Okay, you're saying the point maybe.
I'm agreeing with you.
Yeah, in a different way.
So
correct.
Okay.
Because I want to come to the conclusion that the 10 have been met, which is the real objection, no matter.
10's the number for minimum.
So if you look at 5.
So when you have 20 signatures from pages 2 and 3,
so
and you strike the combination of the 3 and...
Because the conclusion 6. Of 5 and 6 is that there were inadequate signatures, not correct. For the reasons that you have stated, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So what are you suggesting we do then?
So when I recap with
you... And again, it's probably a moot point, but... If you're going to put it in writing, make sure I agree with it.
Right. So what I would, for the final report, state as follows. That the objections, as stated in item 1, A, being overruled on the basis that the form is very similar, be it state or be it local. But with regard to the second issue raised, it would be sustained failure to file the certificate with the county as mandated by law.
Well, with the clerk.
I, No, it's the receipt. Oh, well, yes.
The receipt.
Okay.
We're talking about the receipt.
Yes, 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 yes. The receipt has to be filed. Thank you for that clarification. Yes, sir. Okay. With regard to objection, as itemizes number 3, this is the objection with regard to the numbering of pages. Case law has consistently held the numbering of pages as mandatory, therefore failure to do so is fatal. So that it is, I understood the vote, with regard to that objection, the Electoral Board is sustaining that objection.
Number 3.
Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
With regard to number 4, that is the number of pages in order required, the signatures. This and number 4 was the conclusion by combining 5 and 6 that the allegation insufficient signatures were presented to the clerk is overruled.
So you're combining 4 through 7?
I am combining...
No.
4 and
no.
5.
I thought we understood.
Or 5 and 6. 4 is sustained.
4 is sustained.
We're tossing those
incomplete
two.
Document.
Correct.
I'm sorry.
Correct.
5 is sustained for out of municipal limits. 6 is...
You're saying overruled because it's a duplicate signature? You want to overrule it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's what he's saying is actually false, in my opinion.
So
if we're saying a signature is not valid on the previous one, you can't count it as valid in the subsequent one. Therefore, his objection on number 6 is, in my opinion,
the objection.
Valid.
The objection of 4, 5, and 6 is what leads to the objector's conclusion in number 7. And that's what we are overruling.
7 is going to be the overruled. 6 is sustained as well.
No, in my opinion, it's not. If you two think it is, that's fine. I would sustain 5 and overrule 6 and overrule 7. That's how I do it.
Overruling 7 is the
ultimate.
Substantial, yes, the
yeah.
ultimate decision.
So
in
would
recap,
say you, Jory?
I would say sustain 5 and 6 and then overrule 7.
And would say you?
I agree. Oh, sustain 5 and 6, overrule 7.
Would, yeah, and that comes to the same conclusion.
Yes, correct.
Okay, you're both wrong. But
which
that's
is
fine.
The most important. So that, in a recap, we have the sustaining of one of the objections, which is fatal, thereby eliminates the candidacy of Mr. Hall.
Well, you'd want to list that we sustained several of them.
I will do a report
okay.
to demonstrate that the Electoral Board went through each of the objections.
Okay.
But the conclusion, because of the fact that you have sustained even one of the objections, makes the petitioner's, the candidate's petition as not valid.
So just, I want to make sure I understand this. The petitioner would have the right to appeal to court.
The candidate would have the right to appeal to the court, yes.
Okay, so would it not make more sense for us to list all the points?
I
will.
I shall.
Okay.
I shall.
That will in the written decision.
No, no.
Okay.
I intend to do exactly to demonstrate to the what the Electoral Board considered in coming to the conclusion.
Okay. That's fine.
That it has. Yes.
Any public comment?
It's not a real lid.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
For the record, the written report would be submitted within 5 business days. I am hoping that this board will be available to come together to review, well, you'll have them beforehand, to review the report and approve it. As I shall submit it, or edit and correct it from what I submit, which would be your right.
So watch me again then.
Tuesday.
We have city council. So
oh.
We can.
Just worked out that way.
Okay.
It just worked out that way. Okay.